to the Bookfest Podcast. Today we're going to talk about the Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Hello, Tom Erik.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing fine. So, I'm very sorry to say that Eric couldn't be with us today.
We tried.
He was busy meeting up with the Crown Prince of Abu Dhabi, I think. Something very important, yes. But I have a friend who has met him, so it's okay.
Really?
Yes.
Who?
Andreas Ditzel has also been on the show.
Yes.
He said he was a cool guy. And actually my professor at Boston University, Paul McManus, also said he was a cool guy.
Cool.
He didn't specifically say if he met him, but he said he was a cool guy. Yeah.
Sounds good.
So, we like the book. Then that's why we're here. So today we're going to tell you why we like the book. So Tom Erik will say why he likes the book and thinks that you should read it. And I will say why I like the book and think that you should read it. And then, before that, we're going to say basically how the book starts. And that's it.
So are we going to assume that people know what lean is?
Okay, maybe we should say what lean is. But okay. I'll start with how the book starts, and then we'll and then we'll do what lean is, and then we'll do why you should read the book.
Sure. Yeah.
I love this the way the book starts, okay. And I will read it.
Go ahead.
And it goes like this: Stop me if you heard this before. Brilliant college kid sitting in the dorm or inventing the future. Heedless of boundaries, possessed of new technology and youthful enthusiasm, they build a new company from scratch. Their early success allows them to raise money and bring an amazing new product to market. They hire their friends to sell the superstar team and dare the world to stop them. 10 years and several startups ago, that was me, Eric Ries. I'll say, it wasn't me. building my first company. I particularly remember a moment from back then, the moment I realized my company was going to fail. Yeah, so that's the start of the book. Yeah.
It's a great start.
It's a great start.
So Eric Ries, he actually reads the book himself on Audible.
Yes.
He does a pretty good job.
Yeah.
He doesn't have all the sound effects that you have, though, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Eric, if you ever want the book read again, give me a call.
All right.
So, maybe you tell us what lean is.
So lean. What is lean? Where should we start? Toyota? So, lean is a management model. Process management model.
Yeah.
That comes from the Toyota production system. I don't remember all the names and all that, but that doesn't really matter. So the word lean comes from making the production inventory smaller in the factory, in the Toyota factory. 'Cause if you make so traditionally in a factory, you'll have like a line and everything has to move along the line and everything is done in large batches in order to be as efficient as possible. And the lean philosophy says that, well, whenever you have a problem in this kind of system, the problem is going to be really exaggerated. Because it's going to spread throughout the whole line. So if you have a design flaw, then it's going to spread to a very large batch of finished products because that's how you set up your system. So if you make smaller batches, in your production system, so that you only pull what you need from behind you in the line. What's all that? Hello?
Yeah. You keep going.
Well, that's a little difficult. So instead of everyone just working as fast as they can and pushing as much as they can forward in the line, you just wait for a request from the guy in front of you to make, you know, the next item, and then you make that. So it's a kind of like a pull instead of a push. And then you work with very small batches. And at the end, if there's something wrong, you stop the whole system to fix it. And the result of this system is that you get a very lean inventory, because you only have in your inventory what you need right now, so you don't stock up on wasteful inventory. So that's the origin of the word lean. And this has spread to this philosophy has spread to software development. So there is this whole movement within software development called lean, and derived from that so-called agile processes like Scrum, extreme programming, and so on. And the lean startup is the lean philosophy applied to innovation, basically. Is that a good summary?
I'm a consultant, and one of the things I do is market research, basically. So I basically go to the customers, talk to them, you know, and then they tell me stuff, and then I analyze a little and give it back to the guys that deliver stuff to the customers. So the reason why you should read this book is that it's good to talk to your customers, maybe have somebody else talk to your customers, but it's even better to make something that's similar to what you're going to make, and like a little bit of it. This is also lean, like make one feature that works, and then let the customers pay for it, because that's the most honest answer you'll get is, do people really pay for it? Do they really use it? Do they really tell their friends about it? It's a lot more honest than if you go to a customer and say, hey, dude, let's say I make this, it costs $2. Will you pay for it? Yeah, so that's he has a little chapter here, chapter 4. It's called Experiment.
Uh-huh. Should I look it up?
Yep. Okay. I like it.
I should look it up.
No.
Oh, not now.
Don't look it up. Okay. If you want to know
what's the gist of this chapter?
Yeah. So I'm going to do. Do you want me to tell you more about it? Is that?
Yeah, I would like to hear.
Have you tried it? Experimenting.
Have I tried experimenting? Well, in some way, I guess I have. I don't know if I've tried experimenting in the sense that Rhys intended in this chapter. But I definitely want to try after reading this book.
Yes.
Definitely. Because I think the problem... So I'm going to come back to why I think everyone should read this book a little later on, but I think the problem with experimenting, because I think we've most of us have done some kind of experimenting, I think. The problem is to know what to look for.
Yes.
And what to measure.
Yes. That's right. That's exactly his point. Very good.
Yeah.
So that's what it says. It says basically use the scientific method, and that means before you do the experiment, you have to make a hypothesis. Hypothesis. Hippopotamus. And it's, that predicts what's supposed to happen. And then when you say, so I want, like for example, we started making this podcast, and then basically we were deciding, so what do we want to happen? And then we early on, one of the like what we wanted early on was that people listen to the podcast and then buy the book and then read the book. At least, yeah. So that's good. So then you start, you make podcasts, and then you ask people, so what happened when you listen to the podcast? And if they say, oh, do a podcast, and then you say, so did you buy the book? And they say, no, I didn't buy the book. Then you failed. And that's good.
It's important to fail.
Yes, you can't learn if you can't fail, is what it's saying.
But you have to start with some initial, like you said, hypothesis or an assumption
Yes.
or a leap of faith, as he calls it.
Yes, because if you don't do that, if you let's say we had just made the podcast, put it out there, and our hypothesis was let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Then afterward, we saw what happened and we succeeded. We saw what happened, We're like, something happened, good.
Something happened, we
Yeah,
don't know why.
good. And I think a lot of people do that. Yeah, or what? Or if it, was this what we wanted? We don't know. Well, that's what happened. Yeah. So that's yeah, I like that a lot. And then he comes with some good examples about people who did it, and what happened after. And also he has some examples of people who don't do it. Use what he calls the scientific method. This is basically, you have a hypothesis, you test it empirically, and then after that, just you look. So, did what we wanted happen? Did it happen? And then you after that, you can make a decision. You can say, so let's keep on going the way we're going now, or change what we're doing, which he calls to pivot.
So, are you there?
Yeah.
So Ura is actually in Boston.
So you're going to try this at work?
Ura is in Boston, and he's in an undisclosed location in Boston. The problem is that the internet connection is not very good. So I'm gonna hang up on you now and call you back. And hopefully that will make everything better. We will see. Are you there?
What of it if my internet connection is not so good?
Let's go on.
So the sound is bad, is what you're saying?
Yeah, I think
Is that what
we're
you're
suffering from
saying?
the delay and the simplex problem. I think there is a delay. We can't talk on top of
Yeah.
each other.
That's okay.
Anyway, go on.
I don't like it when people interrupt me anyway.
I know, but nobody could hear what you said.
No. Well, that's too bad for them.
Yeah, so what's your reason? Why should people read the book in your eyes?
Well, I think that everybody who is in engineering or IT, in the IT industry in Norway, at least, should read this book. Because, and I'm saying this, this is my private opinion.
Yes.
The IT industry in Norway is screwed.
Yes, basically. Proper screwed.
We're properly screwed. We're in some deep shit. And so we all know the story. All the big prestigious projects go down the drain.
Yes.
They go way over budget. It never works.
Yeah.
The servers crash when you put like 5 users on them. And it's all just it's shit is what it is. It's shit. Yeah. Everything is shit. This is shit.
This is shit.
And you know, I think I know the answer why.
This is shit. I hear you.
Yeah, I think. So I think you're hearing me about 5 to 10 seconds after I talked.
That's okay. I don't mind.
You don't mind. So I think I know the answer to why we're fucked in the IT industry. And it's because people just do stuff. They just assume stuff about the world and they fail to test it on the real users, and we end up wasting 80% of our time making stuff people never use. And the lean startup is a method to avoid that 80% waste. That's my reason. And why it does that is because it has a feedback loop. It has a built-in feedback loop that ensures that you don't spend too much time building something that is based on false assumptions. So you have to make an initial assumption, but then you have to, as soon as possible, find a way to test that assumption by building a minimum viable product.
Yes.
It could be cardboard, or it could be a video, or it could be some kind of prototype, very cheap. Build it in like 5 days, or 3 days, or 2 weeks. And test your hypothesis. And then, when you have gathered the data, you will, like you said, either pivot because your hypothesis was false, or persevere because you think you may not have enough data, or maybe you think that maybe the hypothesis is correct. And in order to keep this feedback loop as short as possible, you have to make sure that you're working on only one thing at a time. Don't try to change the world by doing everything at the same time, because you'll never succeed. So yeah, this is my humble opinion. This might actually save the whole industry if people actually embrace these principles. Because, you know, we have Scrum, we have like agile development, but that only works if you know what to do, if you know what to build, if you know what's important. But that's rarely the case, that, you know, you already know what people want. And the methods of figuring out what people want is just, I don't know, it's a lot of gut feeling out there, I think. So I'm definitely gonna take this book and try to find ways to implement it in my own work.
Good.
Yes, so that was my reason.
Could you sum it up, please? Real short?
Sure. So, I think that the IT industry has some fundamental flaws. At least the symptoms of it are definitely very, very prominent in Norway. And we're doing something wrong because we end up with large projects that, you know, somehow fail one way or another. And I think we have the solution here. And I think the key points of the solution is to shorten a feedback loop and test our hypothesis and learn. We have to learn something about what we're doing and improve it, not just, you know, have an idea of what we're doing, then just do that and see what happens and just assume that people are going to behave in a certain way without, you know, actually testing it early in the process, before anyone has designed or coded anything. Yeah, that's my summary. Oh,
yeah.
And I'd like to highlight a mantra from the Toyota way. It's a Japanese, says Genchi Kenbutsu.
Yeah.
It means go and see for yourself.
Yes.
Don't just assume something and then, you know, go with that assumption. Check it out. Go and see for yourself if it's actually like that. I think that's the most important lesson. And it's so simple, but it can do so much for us. I think there are so many projects that fail to embrace that principle.
Yeah. So that's what I'm doing in the United States of America. I go to see for myself. So I have an assumption about the United States of America, and then I go here to check it out.
Yeah.
And the answer to the test is basically yes and no.
What was the assumption?
The assumption is that the financial crisis is going to speed up the technological entrepreneurship over here and make it more international than it was before.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
well, that's good. Now we have two reasons to read this book.
Yeah.
And we have an explanation of what lean is, and we have the start of the book.
And I have to say, I'm kind of excited because I got a new book in the mail today, which is kind of in the same universe as the Lean Startup. And I think we should I started reading it. I'm really excited about it. I think we should do this book later. It's called Beyond Budgeting. Have you heard of it? Beyond Budgeting.
Beyond Budgeting?
Yes. How managers can break free from the annual performance trap.
That's interesting.
I think Eric Ries mentions this book at some point, and I heard a keynote speech about this book by a senior executive in Statoil at a conference. And I think it's really great.
Oh.
It's kind of like lean applied to, you know, financial forecasting in a way, or planning.
It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard about it too in a book that's called The Referral Engine.
Yeah.
So this guy's very into getting everybody in your company on board. And then he says that if they're going to feel ownership, you need to present the numbers. They're like your real numbers from the company in a way that will make them care, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he mentions that book.
Oh, and I ordered the Commitment Engine. Also. But
is it a feudal engine? Good.
The Commitment Engine.
Oh, the new one.
Yes.
Even better.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, back to the Lean Startup then.
Back to the Lean Startup.
So, you're going to test this Lean Startup thing out. And I'm going to test it out too.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good.
Do you want to hear how I'm going to test it out?
Yes, I want to hear it.
Yes. Okay. So, I used to go to a university in the United States. It's called Boston University. It's not Bosnia University, as some people think. So, and they are... I have decided that I want to help them to get online with some of their
courses.
Stuff, let's call it stuff. So basically, it's and there are a lot of universities that are online now. But what I want, so like the secret, the good thing about online compared to the classroom is that, let's say that you and me, we are now students. And then, since we're not in the same room, we could actually be talking both at the same time. Or writing. Whereas in the classroom, you can only have one person, you know, saying something at one time. Maybe that's not like 100% true, but online you can have a lot of people engaging at the same time, and oh shit, people are getting more used to it too, and so that's what I want to try. I'm going to literally make a little blog post about this, put it up, and get people to engage with the blog post and write comments about what they would like. You know, how they would like to engage and what kind of content they would like. And yeah. And I'll basically test my assumptions, which I'm not going to say my assumptions now because it's going to be secret. I'm going to test my assumptions. Yeah.
That sounds great.
How are you going to test your stuff?
Well, just I'm not going to say so much about that, but what I do want to say something about is the word startup, because people might get a little scared from that word and think that it doesn't apply to them because they work in a big company.
Yes.
Well, that's where you're wrong, because there is a definition of a startup. Eric Ries has
it wrong.
Yeah, so Eric Ries has a definition of startup, and it is as follows. A human institution designed to create a new product or service under conditions of extreme uncertainty. And by new product or service, it's meant anything that you create that has some kind of value, that adds value to a customer or a user. So that could be if you're making a new feature in a computer program. That's creating a new product or service. And if you have no idea if the user is going... If you're just making it from a hunch that you think this is something that a user is going to think is really cool, then you're operating under conditions of extreme uncertainty. Then that means you're a startup. even if yes. you're working in a company with 1,000 developers, you're still a startup because these conditions apply to you. That means you can be applying the lean startup philosophy in a large company. And so, and I'm not going to say too much about it, but I think that's really the way to go also for my team. So I'm going to talk to my team members about this and see how they respond to it, because I think it's really a helpful way to actually try out new features and not spend, you know, many hours developing something that nobody really is going to use.
Yes.
And entrepreneurs is not just, you know, people who start new companies. Entrepreneurs can also be people who drive innovation in existing companies. So that's just, you know, I'm saying this because I do want everyone to read this book. Even if you were working in an established company and you think that, well, I'm not working in a startup, I'm not an entrepreneur, that doesn't apply to me. That's wrong. You are probably working in a startup, and if you think that your business should be innovative, then this is definitely for you. So yeah. So I'm not saying so much about how I'm going to apply this in my own job, because I don't know yet. I haven't come that far. But I could definitely tell you about it later. If they'll let me. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something about Audible, my friend?
Yeah.
No.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. So, I mentioned my professor at Boston University, Paul McManus, today, earlier, but I will say this. So, I went to him back in 2006, and we had a little chat over a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And I basically told him that I had a plan, and it was to reread a lot of the books that I had still had from courses I've been doing in the university, you know, because I thought there might be some interesting stuff in there that I had forgotten. And then he said, no, don't do that, read some new books. And I did, and look at me now, I'm reading so many new books. Call it the right path, the righteous path. So anyway, so today I told him about Whispersync, which basically, because he said that he had listened a lot to audiobooks that he got from his local library, but now he listened to them all, so there were none left. And then I told him about Whispersync, which means that if you buy a digital book, you can get, for some of them, you can get the audiobook for free. And then you read in your little digital thing, and you put it down, and you take up the audiobook, you go on the bus, and you are, the audiobook automatically takes you to the place you were when you were reading in your other book thingy.
Right. That is great.
He loved that. And so I'm hoping that he's going to buy a lot of books from Audible now. And if not, I will send him the link, which is audibletrial.com/bookcasting.
Yes. Where you can get, actually, that's a great opportunity, actually. Because all of you bastards who are now listening to this program,
yeah,
is stop wasting your time and go to audibletrial.com/bookcasting and get freaking go there and get the Lean Startup on the Audible version, on the audiobook version.
Yeah.
For free. We'll give it away to you with the trial. And then you can listen to it on your commute, on your way to work. Takes you a couple of days, maybe a week if you're a bit slow. Only listening on the subway. And it's going to change your life. So just do it. Stop wasting your time.
Do it now.
Yeah. Stop wasting other people's money.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, you have to take responsibility for this. And even if you're not a manager, it's your responsibility to, you know, do what you can to change your organization. So, basically, what I'm saying is that if you don't do this, if you don't read this book, you are lame. audibletrial.com/bookcasting. All right, I'm done.
Yeah, dear listener, so if you haven't understood, the point is, read this fucking book now. The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Yeah, that was my Irish friend here. He's a little rude.
He sounded a little drunk.
He's a little rude and drunk. But it's Halloween over here in the United States of America, so...
It's Halloween here, too. I'm just glad nobody has, knocked on my door yet. Because, you know, that would suck. Because I'm busy.
Because they get no treats and a lot of tricks.
Yes.
Ninja tricks!
So what are we doing next time?
I don't think I know.
We don't have a plan for next time, do we? Maybe we should decide while we're on air. Let's see. Do we have anything on our list? No, we don't. The list is empty. I guess next week you can't really do anything, can you? Because you're traveling back home. Is that right?
No, we will make a plan.
Next Wednesday?
So that we will make a podcast next week. Yeah, we can do it.
All right. Because you're not leaving till Thursday?
We're leaving the 8th.
That's Thursday, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
So we can do it.
All right, what do we have in our Audible library that we could do?
Yes, we have... actually, there is this young lady from Siler Publishing who wants to be interviewed by us. Maybe we should interview her.
Did she say what book she wanted to do?
No.
All right, let's just tell her that we want to do... why don't we do one of those referral engine? We could do that one
with her.
You think?
Have you read it?
No.
Okay.
Is it on Audible? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Is it in your library?
No comment.
You can't talk about that online.
All right, let's do the referral engine.
Yes, next week's
book
will be The Referral Engine by John Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a great
book. What's her name? What's her name?
And bye-bye to all you listeners out there.
Yeah. See you next time.
Yeah, the lady from Zyler, her name is Mary...
Mary Duke.
And Mary Duke. Mary Duke.
And now, really, Duke. Skype is pulling tricks on us because clearly Ura is hearing what I'm saying, but just very late. And then he's talking, and then it takes another 10 seconds or something for me to hear him. So, yes. I'll see you in a week for the referral engine. This is the Bookcasting Podcast. You'll find us on bookcastingpodcast.com and on facebook.com/bookcastingpodcast and on Twitter @bookcasting. Bye-bye.